The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game in VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking a sip, we appreciate it this morning. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Bill Krakenberger. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Best listeners in the game. Just want to let everybody know. Once again, we appreciate it. Joseph Frieda, this is at Beating the Book. Enjoyed the podcast as always. I think Mark Meltzer should take Fezzik up on getting the 7 stars card. Auburnist could have used a part of the pod where Gil tells Wishnev to stop talking in some very colorful language like last year, but otherwise a great pod. This is from this morning. NCI95 Gambler on a numbers game. He says, I have a future on the Chiefs at plus 650 to win the Super Bowl from before the playoffs. Good luck, Gil. At least one of us will win. TWJD. Thank you, sir. Good luck to you as well. TWJD. Gil, did the Chiefs beat Baltimore? Did Baltimore beat themselves with a big turnover on the touchdown and the self-inflicted penalties? We went through this on Monday, and I definitely think a bunch of it is the latter, for sure, to your point. The Chiefs didn't score more than 3 points after the 10:56 mark, I believe it was, of the second quarter. They were just protecting the football, and yeah, the sometimes enforced but oftentimes unenforced errors, the Ravens were a huge part of that ballgame for sure. Titans Insider, when a player you picked loses the first set in tennis, Gil, do you ever consider betting the over in an in-game play? 3-set matches usually total stay around 22-25, so if the original pick wins, the second set is pretty much guarantees an over. Let me know if this is something to consider. It is absolutely something to consider, Titans Insider, if it does correlate with your pre-match handicap, for sure. I don't do it that often, quite frankly, if I'm being honest, just because there's so many tennis matches I'm watching at one point, but it is absolutely the right frame of mind thinking about that way. Ricky P, I received a fairly large deposit bonus, and I was just curious what the best way to use this was. Any suggestions? Your suggestions on that?
I'm sorry. There was someone yelling behind us.
Deposit bonus when you receive it. Do you have a blanket recommendation for somebody?
Oh, wow. What a great question.
It is a great question.
Because I'll tell you, and the sports books probably don't like this, if you get a free bet, which they're offering now, they used to offer just straight cash into your account. If you get a free bet, you should use that free bet on taking back plus money.
Yes.
So you should use it. Now, read the rules. Make sure that you can take I know some restrict it to 3-1 maximum. So taking plus 3-1. You should take a plus money on a free bet. And by the way, some of the sharpest minds in the world taught me this. I didn't come up with this. Like Steve. Steve will tell you this. Steve Fezzik. And so I would take the plus money bet. I have a question for you now. I didn't realize this now. So yesterday you had Steve on your regular show?
Both. Regular show, final three segments, and then on the Vegas Lifestyle.
Can the listeners, the viewers here, can they go back and watch that?
The ANG performance, the numbers game performance? Yeah. On him? Yes. Is it?
Yeah. The Steve. I like, you know, I've become more and more of a Steve Fezzik fan, as you know, over the years.
Yeah.
It's funny because, and I'll tell you the other side of that. I wasn't a Steve Fezzik fan. I actually didn't even like him.
Yeah.
Because he came up to me 17 years ago at the Golden Nugget and said something stupid. And I didn't talk to him for a long time. He just said something so cocky, arrogant, and stupid. I let it go. And then, you know, it took 5 years for me to see him at the South Point, the soup bar at the South Point, the oyster bar at the South Point. He came up and, like, you know, now you want to talk. He wants to, like, talk to me. And I was with people at dinner. I said, Steve, so now you want to talk. Are we friends? Or because you were really an a-hole back years ago when I met you at the Nugget. And he said, you know, I was back then. He says, I was. You're right. I was like that to everyone because I thought I was the only one that wins.
You and I have the same arc with him.
Oh, okay.
Steve and I got off to a rocky start as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, we did. And now I think what you just characterized is what I really appreciate about him is he is self-reflective.
Yes.
He is in the moment. I can tell him, hey, Steve, why do you do that? And he is, you're right. I should.
You're right.
Now, he doesn't always follow through on it, right?
Right, right.
He'll go back. But I'm just saying, at least I appreciate anybody who at least is open to that.
Yeah, no, and now I'm very close to him, and we've made a lot of money together over the last decade.
He's also one of just plain, forget, you know, personal relationship. He's one of the best listens you can ever have on a radio. Again, he's on Sharp Money here on this network with Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, and Dustin Sweetelson, right? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Every Monday on the on their show, Sharp Money weekdays here on the network. Patrick has had a relationship with Steve for many years. It is just a fantastic listen every time. You are hard pressed to not learn something from Steve every time you listen to him. Period. And if that's what you get out of that is the you know topic sentence of any guest. You just got to love that. And I think you do. And we all can stand to learn things from him.
And I'm really happy, even though for many years, and I'm probably going to an area where I have to just stop here. But for many years, I was actually betting a lot of the stuff. We were betting a lot of stuff together. And because he was so spread out bankroll wise, he had so much money pending. It's every little 1%, half a percent, 1/8 of a percent edge. He would just make that bet and tie up money for 6 months, 5 months, a year. So it literally, we you know, he had to come to me and he'll admit this. And I have to say, this is going to sound funny. I actually wish you didn't win a lot of money now. I wish you needed me more because he has a lot of money now.
The thing about even having the most incremental edge, right? Like, and again, this will come off as like it's part criticism, but it's not meant that way. It's just sort of a window into his brain, which is he cannot physically help himself from not trying to exploit whatever edge is in front of him, no matter how incremental
it
is.
That's perfect. That's exactly
right?
It.
And sometimes I will try to say, and Todd has said this to him before too. It's like sometimes Steve, like, you know, maybe that incremental edge, maybe it's not the best energy given to it. And also you risk offending, like whatever it is, right? Maybe you don't have to do it for it, but he can't help himself.
Right. He couldn't help himself. I mean, the first time he came up to me.
Which on the one hand is kind of like sneaky admirable, right? But on the other hand, it's like, dude, you gotta like ratchet it back a little.
But he just won some really good money and he's got a really healthy bankroll. He's got a big nut. He's got a big nut. You know, people don't realize that. And you know, yet. We talked during the break, and I'm going to bring it up now.
Yeah.
There's still, I can't believe the size of the percentage of the gambling space that hates him.
Well, so part.
I can't believe the size. This guy only tries to help with things. Even, I mean, people hate me.
Okay,
I try to, you know, help with responsible gaming, tell you little nuggets. Some people just don't like what he says.
Well, let me parse that out, too, if we're being honest, right? And I say this to Steve while he's here, and I hope he appreciates it. Because I, by the way, he's a great example of also, like, before you form an opinion of someone, meet them yourself and interact with them yourself. Like, you should absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Just in life in general. But, okay. Now, part of that, I give him crap about all the time, right? Because he is a different person on Twitter generally than he is in real life. And I'm like, Steve, you can't help yourself. Why are you killing people? Like, not everything needs to be bash people. So in that respect, he absolutely brings part of it on himself.
That's
And he will admit it. And by the way, last night, right, remember he had the big money line on Purdue again? Purdue just barely got by with the last night.
He gave a big money line out.
Overtime against Bo Bowie and Northwestern. I was
that
like,
OT?
OT.
That's unbelievable.
Northwestern had a chance to win in regulation. So on the one hand, there's that. But to your point, yes. Like even yesterday, we had him on for three segments. Kelly and I did at the end of this show. He was awesome. We had him on the Vegas Lifestyle Pod. It is amazing to me that there were still a few people, not most, but a few people who are like, I don't like it about it. I was like, wow, you really? What did he do that bothered you about that?
Sometimes he comes off wrong, like cocky and arrogant, but he doesn't. That's not really who he is if you know him.
No.
You know, but the unfortunate is a percentage of the population that just loves to go against. They love drama. They love to make a scandal.
I just think anybody you can learn from. Right. Anybody that and we're all, by the way, the older we get, we're still always learning in life.
Absolutely.
Every day of your life, you should be, you know, you're never fully formed. And when it comes to this space, I would argue there is no one better to learn from than him.
And, you know, people just don't like successful people in this space.
Oh, sure.
Because this space, it's not just like an influencer you don't like, big deal. Because they're trying to make money in sports also. They find it so hard to win, and it is hard to win. We only have a couple percent advantage. So, but most influencers, they show you the best of things. They show you what they're doing, what lines they got. Like I said, I had a plus three on the Super Bowl, and someone may say, well, I don't get a three. And what do you mean? I'm just saying, that's what, I like the money line right now. You could bet plus 119, I'm looking on my screen. Money. I like the money line right now to bet Kansas City. So I'm not just giving that out, but let me just finish just one point.
Yep.
Just one thing. It depresses people in the space at home, some people. They want to be haters because they can't be like, well, why isn't my life this good?
Of course.
Or why am I not on vacation? Or why am I not showing a food review of the – why can't I be there in Las Vegas showing a food review or showing the strip? I got to tell you something. My life – is not that glamorous. I'll just tell you right now. It's not, and maybe I'm making it out to be better than it is. Yeah. It's not, life is just not all about having a few bucks, and it's not. I mean, there's a lot. I like to say I have 5 pounds of stress in a 2 pound bag a lot of the time. You know, life's just not all about money. I'll just tell you that. So
a little breaking news here. I mentioned this at the top of the show today that I thought that the tea leaves were that Dan Quinn will be the next head coach of the Washington Commanders. And Dan Quinn is, in fact, now the new head coach of the Washington Commanders, the final head coaching vacancy to be filled. This is not the first time Washington has dipped into their arch rivals coordinator pool. Norv Turner, obviously the most famous example of that in the past. He was the Cowboys offensive coordinator, did not have a great 7-year arc with Washington. They're running it back though, this time with Dan Quinn, the former Atlanta Falcons head man, who was their head man when Atlanta was in the Super Bowl and famously lost that 28-3 lead. Dan Quinn, the new head coach of the Washington Commodores. So there you go.
18 text messages just now?
No, it's right behind you on the screen.
Oh, wow.
I just had to look past your head. And there it is. Commanders hiring Dan Quinn as their head coach. So there it is. So Belichick and Vrabel officially iced out. There it is. More with the Crackman on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. We got tons this morning. Continuing from where we left off, Spence talking about my tennis PSA earlier. I said I needed that losing streak pep talk today after going 0-4 last night. It's a roller coaster ride. Again, for those who missed it, I was just talking about how huge tennis run right now, 19-11 plus 13.5 units because betting a lot of dogs in there. But you just have to be able to realize that the biggest thing for being a successful sports bettor over time is overcoming negative variance. And you're going to have bad stretches no matter how good you are. You will have them for a year, for a season, for a calendar year. But you got to know when it's real that your edge is gone and when it's just sort of negative variance. Chance Copperpot, thanks for talking about variance and regression. I'm about 7 years into this, and my breadwinner almost every year has been NBA player props, except this year. I get data out of it and learning always, but frustrated. Does help to hear it from the vets. Tony Farmer, I haven't listened to the new Megapod yet. I am tonight, but wondering if you touched on the Westgate's International Theater. In my opinion, great way to watch the game. It's free, somehow not packed, free parking, raffle prizes, and there's a bar in the theater. Why pay? We did not mention
that's
that.
That's unbelievable.
Nobody brought it up.
It's free?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's unbelievable.
Well, South Point does that too, right? They open up that showroom for the Super Bowl.
South Point, it's just a South free
Point
fest.
Are they allowed to smoke? Can't talk.
Yeah.
Can they smoke up there? I hope not.
I think so.
Because then that's a great
venue. It's in the normal show, like the showroom yeah, right off the side. Yeah, you can't smoke in there. Yeah. I don't know if they charge enough for that.
Kane at Cape
Rouskowski. It's cheap.
Cape Rouskowski. Speaking of PSAs, there are heads, tails props up minus 115 for some books both ways. Just bet with your grandma at even money.
Don't even support that book on other bets. I'll tell you right now. Don't even play with them at all based on that.
Good call. Ryan Hyatt. Just once I'd like my wife to look at me and nod the way Kelly looks at Gil and nods during the Bill 80 VSiN promo just once. 3Jack H3131. I'm sorry, but Hamlin was dead on the field. Nobody else should be mentioned. Also hoping this new point system lands me Witherspoon, defensive rookie of the year, at 70-1. Jimmy Lopez, crank up the Crackman theme music. Sports Pick Magic. Need video of Crack doing the Ray Lewis dance to run along with his intro music. Please.
Could you do that one? We could
have that video.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold, I'm telling you. The dog. I was talking to, oh, he's responding to somebody else. I'm sorry. Numbers, guys. Did Gil just use fealty in a sentence? Another example of why he's the king of all sports media. Thank you. Trip Tepper. A perfect example of sharp money being dead wrong. The Pac-12 title game. I had very strong conviction on Washington and bet it repeatedly.
Definitely.
As the line went from +7 up to +10. Even added a few healthy money line sprinkles. It's a great example.
Good example. Good example.
Great example. And finally, Bainbridge Deweese talking about... He was saying he's heard Fezzik say the thing about taking plus money on free bets before. Did it on Koboli yesterday on our tennis play. He was like, explain why that is. You're just trying to get the most bang for your buck on the plus money on the free bet is what you're saying.
Oh, he did say, exactly. You're trying to get that plus money and it's actually worked out for me, but sometimes it doesn't because it's a dog. You're going to lose 2 out of 3 times, but you're getting back 3-1, something like that. You follow? So you want to take back the plus money. Even if you don't know anything, it's called market capping, looking at other sites and just find something that's plus there, that's higher at that particular bonus site more than anything. By the way, I ran into someone that he wanted to have me on his he has a little one of those Twitter spaces or something the other day. And I said, I don't like to turn anyone down. I like to be nice to everybody. Like, people turn down a lot of things. I try to be nice and try to answer anyone that sends a question. I'll meet some people in town when they come in town and try to buy them a meal or something. That's just what I do. You know, you're not going to buy a meal if you're coming here. I'm paying. We did a show together, and it's funny. So when Gil and I did a show together, and the producer 2 weeks ago said, 2 months ago, you never sent that bill in from Italian American Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. Because, I mean, I don't know. It was Gil and I. I treated it as Gil and I, me treating the dinner. But let me just tell you, though, the plus money and what I'm talking about market handicapping, I heard you say this before. So I ran into this guy. He asked me if I can come on. There was like 80 people in the chat, and I got on there with him. He's only been betting sports for 2 months, which I didn't know. And he's like, I made 20 grand in 2 months just going betting this particular. I'll tell you who it is. It's Caesars. He said, I beat Caesars out of $20,000 betting live wagering. I was like, okay. In 2 months, you never knew nothing about handicapping. He's 23 years old. Before, he goes, no, I just put up some sharp sites in progress, and I was betting Caesars against the sharp sites, and I won that. You know, it's some variance. You probably shouldn't have won 20 grand. It probably ran well, but that's a winning formula.
We're not just saying
Caesars, though. It could be
anybody.
Actually, Caesars is not even a good. There's better ones than Caesars to play
games. We don't emphasize this enough, right? Because we're always talking about all the stuff we're doing, or we're talking about the X's and O's of a game or handicapping games. The most direct way to be successful, it could be long term, but let's just say in the short term, even the most successful way, even in the short term, to show gains in sports betting is just what you're describing.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Just what you're describing.
I didn't think of it being the most, but you want to know something? It is.
It's just like, okay, just juxtapose one book against other books,
right,
and just figure out the best of it that way.
Right.
That is still the most direct route. If you have that kind of brain to do that all the time, I'm not the type that's going to sit there and do that all
Me
day
either.
Long. I'm just not.
Me either. I'm wrong. We're wrong. I'm involved in pre-flop wagers and running around town, doing props, taking advantage of casino promotions. You have to be on your game with multiple computers up at the same time and going, refreshing constantly to make sure you get the best line.
It's
a lot of work.
Not only does it not mean that what we're doing is better than you, it's probably that we're worse than you.
Yes.
Like, because that's probably
Agreed.
A more reliable way of doing things. It's not how my brain is wired. It's also not the time that I have. But if you have that time and you are okay being that guy or that girl, Mazel tov, man. Do it that way.
In other words, what Gil's saying, too, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know anything about who's playing, the name of the players, the color of the team, the jersey colors. And you don't have to know any of that kind of stuff. All you have to do is know these two sports books are slower to move and have a worse algorithm going than the sharper sports books that you're following, going by them to say that their line is more accurate against these weaker sports books and the weaker thing. That's what this kid made his 20 grand in 2 months. And I didn't know what I was going to go on and even talk about there with him. He's right. He's absolutely right. You're going to get limited by the sports books you're going to beat probably if it's those type of sports books, because they're slower to move. It means they're probably slower to move everything, and probably means they're an easier sports book to beat in general. Yeah. So live wagering is something I'll do during maybe some NFL playoffs and maybe even the Super Bowl, but it's not something that like I said, I made time for all year long. Let me ask you two gentlemen, where are you going to be for the Super Bowl?
Kelly and I are going to be doing the show up until kickoff at Circa.
Oh, wow.
So then our big problem is, do we stay to watch or do we jet home and risk missing part of it? Ooh. And so it's a little bit of a conundrum.
Oh, they have a big party there. They'll get you. And there's a giant like rated casino host party there that would be a really cool.
Where are you watching?
I'll probably just watch at home alone.
Yeah, year. I mean, we'd be just fine watching at Circa. Yeah, I think you're kind of like me though. The Super Bowl, and when people have Super Bowl parties, like, I still, like, it's the biggest football game of the year. Like, I like to soak in the full broadcast, sit on my couch, watch everything.
I'm doing the show in the morning, so I want to know what I'm listening to.
It's so right. Yeah. You really do.
This is, by the way, this has nothing to do with this. I'm just telling you how my brain is going. Yeah. When you were talking about, we were just talking about the quickest way of being successful at sports betting, what we were just talking about. Did you see this story? We didn't talk about it. Former LSU and Patriots wide receiver Kayshon Boutte. Did you see this story?
Yes, I did.
So Kayshon Boutte was, he placed more than 8,900 wagers with at least 17 bets on NCAA football games, including at least six involving LSU. I guess when he was playing at LSU, is that what this was about?
Yeah, some of them were, yeah.
Okay, but the funny,
yeah, I'm only like, laughing
to me, the most amazing part of the story is how much money he made.
Oh, I think I was saying he lost.
Oh, bro, he made so. I'm trying to find how much he made.
One of his usernames was like his exact name.
It was like the Calvin
Ridley
thing.
Every one of these stories are just like, it's like a test of intelligence, right? Like,
it's just unbelievable.
The only people that get caught with this stuff.
When were these wagers made? What year?
This is like 2 years ago.
2 years or two seasons ago?
Right, Gil? Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm just trying to.
I thought you were going to say how much money he lost, how much money he made.
Here's it. He's accused of depositing a total of $132,000 plus into his fake online betting account, with winnings totaling $556,267. Most of the winnings used to make additional bets, and ultimately he withdrew $50,000 from there. But he was up $500 large.
Read those numbers again. What did he deposit?
He's accused of depositing 132 grand, and he ended up
cashed out with 500K.
He won 556. They say one withdrawal of 50. So who knows what happened to the other four? Other 500,000. But at least
maybe
the
not
short
as big
term,
of an idiot as I thought.
And now he's selling picks.
Is he?
No.
No. I was gonna say. And tomorrow on A Numbers Game, Kayshon Boutte will be here. More with the crack man on the other side. It's A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets as well. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
That's promo code ANG, the only show where you can get an hour and 15 minutes of Bill Krakenberger.
Get your first year of Visa Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly got the best of me on that one.
Love that. That was great.
I acted like I was going to go in thinking that Kelly was going to jump in on me, and then Kelly didn't do anything, so I'm just looking stupid. We get tweets of Beating the Book. I have to say this again. This show is so enhanced by the amazing listener feedback. Every subject we talk about, always witty, insightful, and interesting feedback. Trip Tepper on the podcast says, Gil, no need to apologize for the negative topics at the beginning of the Lifestyle Pod. The pod is authentic and a candid snapshot about Vegas.
Absolutely.
You guys covered the good, the bad, and the ugly. A tremendous listen. Thank you, Trip. That is super nice of you. Shine the Professor chiming in. Professor Shine on what we're talking about with Fezzik. He goes, being an originator or anyone who risks a lot of their own cash is like being a boxer. You have to have big confidence in yourself and believe you're great at what you do or you're cooked. That confidence could somehow come out as arrogance towards arrogance or negativity towards others.
He's right.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
He's been around a long time, that guy.
Yep.
He's been around a long time. He's from back east and yeah, he gets a little crazy on me once in a while on Twitter, but I respect him.
Shine and I used to have a funky relationship too, but we met each other.
Yeah,
all good.
No, he's very knowledgeable.
We're boys now.
Yeah, no, we're no.
that's right.
And you know what? That thinking of your lifestyle, I have to go. I'm going to watch this, by the way. But your lifestyle podcast, you guys were talking about some stuff yesterday.
Yeah,
Las Vegas locally was one of my favorite feeds. I don't know if it's a girl or a guy. I don't know who it is. I never met him or her, but. Yesterday they put up, what are the best tips for someone visiting Las Vegas for the Super Bowl this year? Some fantastic responses in there there's a lot of joking in there too, but there's 300 responses in there, and it's the pinned tweet for Las Vegas locally. Some really good things. I just, like, you know, some people just saying what to do. Well, first person, when in doubt, always over tip. I like that. Just, you know, when you're thinking about what you should tip, just over tip. That's it. Stay away from the strip, someone said. Big events like the Super Bowl bring out pickpockets. Don't keep your wallet, phone, or anything else of value in your back pockets. If your backpack can easily be opened, don't keep valuables in there either. How about this? ATM fees. Bring cash. Carry cash. It ain't heavy.
Oh, boy.
ATM fees out of control now at a lot of these places. Don't buy CDs from anyone off the strip. I mean, there's some good stuff in here. There's some people get funny. Stevie Ray Vaughan, leave the money and go home. I mean, but no, seriously, there's some really good. I like this tip. If your hotel lets you bring outside food and drink in, which everyone does anyway, you see people bringing coolers in and cases of water and stuff.
I love the coolers.
I think it's not a bad idea though to go to CVS or Walgreens and buy in your bags of chips and pretzels for the room for everybody.
Case of water.
Yeah, I just think it's $3, $5 for a case of water at Walmart compared to $8 for one bottle in the casino.
Go to the liquor store, grab a bottle of booze. I always make a little roadie for the casino when you leave the room. Yeah, make your own drink up there.
There was a little tension between Meltzer and Fezzik on the podcast yesterday because Fezzik was talking about it from his sort of perch in the universe, and Meltzer was like, sorry, I don't deal in those kind of levels. It got a little testy at one point.
No, I just something no, I wanted to say.
We talked about this too.
There are 290 more of them, but I'm just saying.
No, it's
good,
great
little nuggets.
It, for those who are planning, we got into this in the pod again, the Beating the Book podcast, 13th annual Vegas Lifestyle Pod. But the we got into it where it both Meltzer and Fezzik were great about this. Where it is, you bring up another one. The ATM fees are ridiculous. Obviously, from a sports betting standpoint, the biggest thing is. If you're used to betting apps in New Jersey or Illinois or Colorado, wherever you're coming in from, just know, Kelly's laughing already, just know that until a minute ago when we got BetMGM and Caesars, and we're still working those out, I guess.
Yeah,
we're becoming
looking
acclimated.
Looking good, though.
But literally in the last 4 days, literally, we have now sort of started to taste what you guys have. And so... Like, even, like, with, like, the bonuses, this is brand new to us. Like, what do you mean I have a bonus? Is this? I don't know that this exists. So just know that now we have one or two apps that are going to be sort of up to your level.
I wish we could set up... Sorry.
No, I mean, that's basically the thing. You're not going to get 10 options.
Right.
I wish we could set up one location for that when everybody comes in town for the Super Bowl, they could go sign up for every app in town.
Yes.
And then I could just be sitting there with chair.
Business.
Waiting to see what their reactions are like.
Kelly, did you not last week say, and that maybe Gil, if yours is good now, did you not say last week BetMGM app is the best app? You've had more options on there than anywhere else in town?
Yeah.
Anything else in town, that's the best app. Because they have now, like Gil said, we have a couple of apps here that are making us feel like the rest of the country.
Yeah.
So until the bigger, the other sports books get to here, you know, the DraftKings of the world get to Las Vegas, the BetMGM has actually taken a step forward then and actually combining their app, because they had a Nevada app separately than the world. So now we have the full feature of it, and it's really lots of options.
And the Caesars one, you can actually stay on there without getting kicked off every Tuesday.
Bill, awesome. You were worried about, we were asking our buddy all the time that.
Yeah.
And finally they've solved that.
Eric Biggio.
Yeah, that's the breaking news on that front, Bill, from last week even. Right. Caesars has redone, same thing. Now it is the rest of country app that we have availability to. So yeah, it's.
Oh, wow.
The couple times I've used it.
That's great.
Moved through flawlessly.
All right.
Looks great.
So we have two good apps in town here.
A whole new world.
Yeah. But however, there's pros and cons, because I like the apps of like Circa, Westgate.
Fezzik said that yesterday too.
And Superbook, not Superbook, of South Point. I like the app where I can just put a bet in, goes right through. I don't have to, I'm not in a queue, and I'm waiting, and it's spinning and spinning and spinning. And then sometimes those risk departments will say, you know what? Yeah, that's not really, I don't like giving that guy that line. Deny, and they move it on air. And that's what a lot of books do nationwide, worldwide. So I like. There's pros and cons about it.
Oh, there are definitely pros and cons. As I'm learning at MGM. By the way, I just want to say this, because I said this off air too, but I've said this before. I get it when you have all the tennis matches or you have none of the tennis matches. What I do not understand is when you have a partial list of tennis matches on a daily basis. And BetMGM, if you go to the counter, only has partial MGM matches. Now, they do have them all on the app. But if you go to the counter, it's only partial. And I say to them every time, I'm like, why is this the case that you only have partial? You should either have all or none. And no one has an answer about this. Nobody.
Yeah.
I don't get
it. That sucks. I can't stop thinking about my one location spot, because we could just be chilling there in lawn chairs eating potato chips. I just want to see people's reactions when it's like, wait, what? All right, let me go to the desktop version. Oh, wait, I can't do that? What are you talking about?
You and Jason Weingard with the greatest random business ideas for the sports betting world. How's that compound he's building on the Nevada-Arizona border?
Yeah, he and I had very similar ideas. He decided to go with a compound. I had a food truck
for
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You still going into Arizona to make bets these days, or not so much anymore?
No, I'm not. I was going there for a while, but the apps have severely limited me under my name. So let's take that for what it's worth.
I have no song with the word beard in it to say.
Yeah, so, no. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm not going though. No, I'm not going.
Yeah. So, I saw that with Super Bowl MVP bets too. That's okay. Again, the difference between the brick and mortar versus these newfangled apps, right? There were a couple places in this town, right? A few that actually took big bets. One of them now with the app, right? It's sort of like, oh, no, here, you can only give you this now, amount of that. Yeah, you can rebet it too, right? But I'm noticing that just because your app is better now, the behavior is changing also, right? So that's not a positive necessarily.
There are some, yes, there are some good things and some bad things, for sure.
For sure, as you said.
One thing before we get to go to break here. I heard somebody in the media talking about teasing both sides of the same game. That means you're going to, you know, tease through zero. Come on. Teasing through both sides of a game, of the same game. Automatically, that means, of course, you're going to win one side. You know the odds of winning the other side? You think the game's going to be that close? I mean, and maybe if you think that, you should play bets based on that, but not teasing both sides of the same game. I mean, and plus, tease, like, it's a great teaser. Yes, Kansas City looks like a great side to tease. I'm not going to tease a total, though, in the NFL. I have been around the sharpest sports betting groups of all time, some of them, over the last 25 years. And I'll tell you what, every one of them has taught me not to tease totals. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to look into the teasing totals when the line's down to like 29.5. I understand, but that's a rarity that comes up once a year. Please don't tease the total in the Super Bowl. Please don't. That's all I'm saying. Maybe you could tease the East-West Shrine Game. it's 37. I know nothing about it. It's 37, and it's 1.5. You could tease it up to 7.5 then with Kansas City.
Maybe while you're at it, you can tease the Blue Bonnet Bowl as well.
Yeah,
maybe.
The toilet bowl.
UFL lines up yet?
Oh. Right.
It's a merger, Kelly. It's a merger. More with the crack, man. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
check out Adam Burke's primer on playing Super Bowl squares.
I love it.
I do love that, because you know what? I don't know about you, but I get a text every year from Jordan Sherwood. Hey, you want to play Super Bowl squares this year? And I'm like, no, I got a billion bets. I'm good.
That's right.
But no, Circa, doing exactly. Squares, Adam Burke wrote about.
That's exactly our reaction.
Where would I find that?
VSiN.com. Or the daily newsletter.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's okay. But I love that he covers every possible angle on all this stuff. Get expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the crack man. I just want to get through a couple more tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Shine chimes in, and I think this is great insight. The LSU story, the player was the beard. Now it makes more sense. Mm. So the account got huge at one point, but he was the beard. That makes sense now. Plus, I don't know. By the amount he withdrew, though, I don't know. Maybe he lost. Maybe he lost in the end. I don't know.
Which he was willing some to other sacrifice people. An NFL career over being someone's beard for $50,000.
Well, we weren't like commenting on the intelligence of doing this, but Benny Betts says that he says, I think Butte actually lost a lot of money. He withdrew all the money that he had in the account, so it really should be deposits, withdrawals to get his win loss, and it's a big loss. Let's say this is from this is also from Stringfellow Hawk. Hey, how about Gil of great musical knowledge not knowing Dead & Company on the podcast yesterday? I was floored. Should be a great show at the Sphere. Yeah, apparently after U2, it's Dead & Company. It's not my genre, so I didn't know Dead & Company Dead was and like company. Was that the Grateful Dead offshoot?
It is a company. Yeah, I think it's Bob Weir. I think that's who it is.
You shouldn't feel bad. I didn't know that either. It's no just idea. The Grateful Dead offshoot. Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't a deadhead either.
Stringfellow, I don't feel bad. I don't know. That's not my genre. Oh, well, so something happened here. Breaking news, as we talked about a couple segments ago, and I feel like because we were going into commercial, we just glossed over it. But I just want to harp upon it once again. Pardon me. That the last coaching vacancy, the last head coaching vacancy in the NFL has been filled. The Washington Commanders, I believe that's how they call them, they hired Dan Quinn, which I speculated in the first segment of the show that was the scuttlebutt that was going to happen. That. Short of getting all their other choices, went by the wayside. That Washington was the last team standing. And so former Dallas defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, who of course was the head man with the Atlanta Falcons during their Super Bowl appearance, the 28-3 lead squandered famously. Dan Quinn, the new head coach of the Washington Taco Holders. Now, I just want to, again, say that none of us know who among these coaches are going to be good, who are going to be bad. Maybe you've formed your opinion about Dan Quinn. The truth is that his record is pretty good. His record, besides the 0-5 that got him fired the pandemic season, right, which made his record, I think, like one game above 500. He's actually a pretty good coach record-wise, 42-37. I don't know if he's going to be any good. I don't know if he's going to be bad. Just like I don't know if McDonald with Baltimore yesterday is or any of the coaches hired. What I do know is that the Commodores ended up with not the guy they wanted. They ended up with like choice 3 or 4. But the most amazing part of this head coaching, vacancy season, if you will, is that Bill Belichick, to a lesser extent, Mike Vrabel, neither of these two guys got a job. And in the case of Belichick, let's just take a team like Washington, which is the last team standing, right? So Washington, by definition, was like, oh, my God, everybody got everybody else. And at that point, some people were texting me, like, oh, it's going to be Belichick. I'm like, no, it's not. They have no interest, none, in the 6-time Super Bowl champion. And I am so glad as a Washington guy, because that was the last guy I wanted from the beginning. And again, it's not ageist to say you're a 72. You will be 72 years old when the season starts next year. So it is within the team's right to wonder how long will you be around? Are you just here to break the all-time wins record? Don Shula's all-time wins record, which would be, 15 more games or something like that. It would not be necessarily a long-term hire. You have to factor that in. You, me, Kelly, and Matt joked on Friday about what a Belichick interview probably sounded like. That didn't go very well in our dramatization of the whole thing, or reenactment. And so that's the most interesting part about all of this, is that if we had asked anybody, right, oh, if Bill Belichick becomes available right after the season, let's say right before week 18, to a man, I think everybody would have been like, oh, multiple offers. They're going to be fighting over him.
Nope, just the opposite.
I mean, they posted odds for what team he'd land on. There were so many that we thought were going to be interested. And I got my tweet deck open here, and I've got my different lists by sports. Okay, so I've got Boston reporters on like every sport. I'm just going to give you the overall consensus for Boston reporters that I've seen. I'm sorry, but you took Dan Quinn over the greatest football coach of all time. That is the Kelly Midland reenactment of what's happening with Boston.
Well, what
reporters.
The Boston reporters don't get, because they're in their own little bubble, is that we had a better coach than yours. And I mean it. Joe Gibbs was a better coach than Bill Belichick was. And I'm not saying Bill Belichick is not on the Mount Rushmore, but I'm going to say it again. You have to factor in the part where after he had Tom Brady, they kind of sucked. And you have other coaches who have done it with multiple iterations. Don Shula, forget, you don't want me to talk about Joe Gibbs, fine. I won't talk about Joe Gibbs being the only one who's won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and none of whom was a Hall of Famer. Sure, I won't talk about it. How about Don Shula? Don Shula did it with Bob Greasy, and he also got to a Super Bowl, for God's sakes, with David Woodley, right? Like, he got to a Super Bowl. He got to a Super Bowl with Dan Marino, which, again, just another quarterback. It's not quite Gibbsian. But I'm just saying, they've shown it multiple ways. So is Bill Belichick one of the greatest? He is. But is he the greatest? You can never tell me that. You can never convince me of that. It's just the evidence doesn't support it. So sorry, Boston reporters. He ain't that great to us. We already had our guy. He doesn't measure up to that guy. So in the end, yeah, we'll take Dan Quinn, because at least he'll be around for a while. If it goes well. And I'll just say it again. None of us know if it will with any of these guys. But and I'll tell you this. Washington did not want, if you're giving them truth serum, they didn't want a defensive guy. They wanted an offensive guy to help along with Sam Howell or whoever they're going to draft at number two specifically. That's the real thing. You wouldn't draft a quarterback at number two. It's either going to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels, let's say. Right, if Caleb Williams goes number one, you ideally would want an offensive mind to do that, but they ended up with choice number four or five, so they end up with Dan Quinn on the defensive side of the ball. So from Ron Rivera to Dan Quinn, there you go. There you go, DC. Let's go, baby.
Can I read a tweet?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry to bother.
No.
I apologize.
No, you didn't. It's your show. I'm just flying on the wall. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. When did you get here?
Oh,
I apologize.
Yeah. One of our followers, a very loyal guy, is always writing good things, TWJD. Can you answer this on the show? Do you ever see Vegas returning to the old Vegas? Excellent comps, cheap food, lower table games. Absolutely, unequivocally, no. Why? Let me give you an example. I just seen something that I knew. Nevada casinos won $1.43 billion from gamblers in December. We're a couple months behind in reporting it always. That's the highest win in gaming history in Nevada. There's no way we're going to start going backwards and giving things away when the casino's setting, when the town is setting records.
Yeah.
Month, $1.43 billion in December, when in the old days, they would close sections of their casinos in December because they knew it was so slow for deep cleaning section by section by section. We have not only opened in December, all the whole casinos, and the rodeos in town, which is a big thing for the town, $1.43 billion. So to answer your question, don't want to burst your bubble, but no. This town will never go back to excellent comps and lower table game limits. Wait till you guys see what happens Super Bowl Saturday and Sunday. You're going to walk through and normally see where games are $10. They're going to be all black chip games, 100 and more, $500 tables. Oh, I mean, it's going to be sick out here. Every single private jet that's trying to get into town the last 4 months scheduled to get in town, they're flying to a different town. They're literally flying an hour away because they can't park on any more private jets here. This is going to be a sick time of the year, and I want to stay far away from it, the strip. And but you know, we have to go to certain places that, you know, it's amazing, certain places want you to bet on the app everything. Mm-hmm. Then other ones won't even take prop bets on the app. So there's a lot of legwork involved.
Wait, you know, Bill, can I go back to that table game thing real quick? Okay, what do you think the lowest minimum is on a blackjack table at the Wynn on the Saturday before
the Super
Bowl?
Great question.
100.
100.
You think there'll be $100 tables still available? Okay. All right.
No, that's the lowest, I think.
No, I know. Yeah. I know.
That's the lowest. There's not going to be no quarters, though. There's no green chip games. Well, they'd rather have the table be dead, which always shocks me for hours and hours than getting volume on $25 player. It shocks me.
It really is true. Yeah. You see, and they're just sitting there standing.
Just like, sitting there standing.
That is so many casinos
not,
on the strip.
We're not going down. It's $100 minimum right here. Yeah. Everywhere on the strip. Billy, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Kelly's got tons of stuff to do today. We did the podcast yesterday. Again, check it out. The Beating the Book Vegas Lifestyle Pod, 13th annual edition. Enjoy that if you plan on coming to Vegas. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.